I get to introduce this wonderful man.
I heard that amen. Who said that?
Oh, we have a good time. This is Brian Stone. Brian Stone and I both are part of the Reformed Church of America.
Amen. There was no amen there. It was just quiet.
It was, because I'm talking, and you know, Reforms don't look like me. And my identity is in Christ. However, when I met this gentleman, I didn't realize what God was doing in us. We had planted a church in the Edison neighborhood, and we had heard from those that we planted with that Haven Reform, he is the pastor of Haven Reform, which is out there on the east side over there in Parchment. I say Kalamazoo, but my husband corrected me and said it's Parchment. Am I right?
Neither of you are right. Technically, I guess we are in Richland Township.
All right.
But we're in the middle of nowhere.
But it is the east side.
It's the northeast corner. Yep.
Yeah. North. Amen.
Amen.
We're partial to the north. You know that, right?
I do.
Okay. I just want you to know that. And so he's my brother. He came and supported and has been a support. But we didn't know in our journey together, in our time together, that we would have to confront our own personal issues with one another.
Yeah.
Right.
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 Yes, we have. I get to introduce someone that you've already seen and heard from, Yolanda. She is my sister. And, you know, when I first met Yolanda, you know, there's this amazing smile that she's got. You get sucked into those eyes that just make you know, you're welcomed, right?
I don't know if Michael has had a conversation with you, but you really buttering me up right now.
We're all right. So, yeah. It's the first time I met Yolanda. It was that experience where you just knew that she likes you, that you're welcome, that you're loved. And so, yeah.
It only lasts a minute. We're not even into it yet.
No, we're not. We're not getting into it yet. So anyway, the first time I met Yolanda, it was I was being introduced to her as the fact that she was part of the pastoral team for Vanguard. And I think, you know, the amazing thing is God has continuously put you and I in all sorts of situations where we are having to work side by side with one another consistently for, I don't know, last 4 or 5 years. Yeah. So let's get into this.
Yeah.
What we talking about. It's going to be a little casual. It's going to be different than what Nate and James did, and the fact that we're not going to give a teaching other than we're going to allow you to experience a little bit of a conversation between the two of us. So maybe you didn't notice, but Yolanda and I are different on a couple of levels.
He is a Packers fan. Oh, no. And we are Lions diehard fans. That's the difference.
You're so funny. She's a girl. I'm a boy. I'm also very white.
And I'm very black.
And you're very black.
I just thought I'd take that from you.
All right, thanks. So, Yolanda, what did you have to overcome in yourself in order to come to the place to accept the differences between us?
I would like to I can't use words like forgiveness because that's on down the line. And I can't say faith yet because I'm starting from the very beginning, grassroots with my brothers from the Reform. I didn't like them. I didn't like Brian. I had to overcome not liking the fact that I was different. And not only was I physically different, but I was different from them. Because most times, for those of you that know me in the room, I'm not a silent observer of the Holy Spirit. I am vocal. And my brothers from the Reform are very vocal. And when I met Brian, he was very vocal about different things, but not anything that was out front. I saw it in him. And if you know me, I have something that is discernment on how people react. And if I'm being introduced to them, one of the things that I can see what's really going on behind the thing. And so when I speak like that, I'm different. But we're going to talk about what happened to me and what went on in order for me to say and even be okay with saying that to not only Brian, but to you guys. I had to get over not liking them because I had an issue with the whole male gender. So it wasn't just because they were my Reformed brothers. This is what God used to heal me. Right? Because I have daddy issues. And who knew that I would have to stand before all of you today and give that account of that? And it was because of my brothers who were willing not to give me a pass that I had to deal with it. So I had to overcome that.
Thanks. As you were talking, I was just, because my initial experience was that you liked me and you just confessed to everybody here that you didn't like me.
It wasn't you personal. And see, don't take it personal. Well, you are a man. Stay there.
But I think the point that I wanted to draw out was how easy it was for you to not let that on.
I was masking.
Right. And and so that's what just struck me. Not that me personally and all that kind of stuff, but just how easy it is for us to never let on what is really going on inside. Yeah.
So.
No, let's just talk about you. That's a whole lot easier.
No. What did you have to overcome to get to a place to accept differences?
So, a lot. I grew up in the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin. And you know, I mean, literally, there were four stop signs at the same intersection that was where I grew up. I grew up in a church that was a Reformed church. It was as a body, the Reformed church isn't this way, but this particular church was. But it was a cessationist church, and by that I mean they did not believe in any of the gifts of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So miracles, signs, tongues, prophecy, having a word. I mean, you know what happened just now a little bit ago. You know, that you'd be, you know, sent packing. Literally, my older brother and I would visit another church because they had cute girls in their youth group. But it was a Pentecostal church. And when my brother came home speaking in tongues, my parents called the pastor over to have a conversation with us. I also grew up a great church, right? I mean, you know, they discipled me in a whole ton of ways. There was never a single woman ever in leadership in that church. My mom, who's a strong woman, who leads massive events for thousands of women in Wisconsin, along with Jill Briscoe, Stuart Briscoe's wife at the time, and never allowed to teach in the congregation. But I also grew up in this town where there were no black people.
No.
Do you say that no, or do you mean like no?
I said it like no.
No. And so, you know, the only reference that I had to anybody who was African American were the stories of my dad, who grew up in inner city Detroit playing basketball, having knives drawn on him when he would be on the basketball court by folks standing on the backside of the court, when he'd be shooting a free throw and his life would be threatened. And he'd share those stories when I was growing up. I wasn't aware of it, but, you know, that shaped me. The only news that I had about, you know, anybody of any kind of color was then only on the TV news, right? And if it was going to make it on the TV news in the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin, it had to be bad news. And all of those things shaped me. So then I'm introduced to Yolanda.
God has a way.
Right? She's a black woman prophetess.
Glory!
There isn't anything in anywhere in how I grew up to do anything with that. You know what I mean? I mean, guys, I know you'll get this because we do life like waffles, and I didn't have, you know, that little cubicle where the syrup goes. I didn't have one for Yolanda.
You know, that lets you know our father has a great sense of humor.
He does. He's funny that way.
So here we are. I have male issues. I have issues with men in leadership over me. Okay, because I haven't had it demonstrated well. Because I'm like my brother, James Harris. I belong to Jesus. I'm like Bene says. I belong to the Holy Spirit who comes. He doesn't take sides. I can't take sides because I am a Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal Reform.
So you're a Reformed Baptist-costal. I don't know how to work Methodist into that.
Right.
I'll figure that out.
But trust me, we do things in method. And I grew up in that. And so God put us together. And what happened to me was I couldn't stay there. I'm praying. And the Lord says, there's an issue between he and I. Now, how is that when I'm being used? I see fruit, but yet I have an issue between me and the Father. And then my wonderful brother in the gospel, he came to me one day after a mission trip, and he said, I need to talk to you. And he blew my world up. He didn't know it, but I knew it. And Thanksgiving comes, and we're invited to come to this man's church. He has a wonderful Thanksgiving service that we go to every year. Amen. And I didn't expect to put it all out there at that Thanksgiving service, but the Lord said, tell. And it settles with me. I don't haggle with him. And I said, okay. And I said, I have issues with men, which is making me have issues with the Lord. Because I see him as just as much daddy, male. You're taught, he. And you don't have to really know my background, but if I have daddy issues, then there wasn't a daddy. Right? And for a female who doesn't have a daddy, she needs to be affirmed. And you have an issue with God. I had to learn this. Nobody told me this. And so I had, that's what happened in my encounter. I heard from the Lord. He said, we have an issue. I then heard from my brother who I'm in ministry with, who then blows my world up and confirms. And I don't say to him, I know it is. I just said, I hear you. But I knew what he was saying. And then I go to Brian's church. And I have to tell it. And then the journey begins.
So, yeah. So, you know, that was what was in the space for me. And God in his divine providence and in his amazing sense of humor continues to put me in the same room with this beautiful lady next to me, Yolanda Stewart. Now, you know, I'm okay, we good? And so we would be in these meetings, and I was always within the Reformed Church. I've always been a proponent of women in ministry. When I was in Wisconsin, I chaired the student supervision team, and I would encourage the young ladies that were pursuing ministry. But it was always a lot easier to do that because, you know, they were going to be doing it someplace else and over there.
Someplace. I love you.
You know what I mean?
You're being so honest.
I am. Somebody said keep it real, and I'm being really real. And so coming up with Yolanda has confronted that, because now I am working side by side next to a strong woman who is a pastor, a minister of the gospel, and a prophetess, and so.
I just love how you say that, because you've learned to say it and believe it. Because I know when you first heard it, you were like, get the heck out of here.
Well, if we were going to keep it real, we would substitute one word.
I was being really good. I was.
I'm never that good up here. It comes out.
I know,
better.
But
okay.
So when you know that, and he's not alone, because it's confronting both of us. I'm being confronted. He's being confronted. But yet we're still doing ministry together,
right?
Supporting each other's churches, being there when we need to be, you sitting in places to direct what's happening with our church, right?
Right.
With other brothers, not knowing that this is all going on with me, right?
Which is so important, because I had no idea what was going on inside of Yolanda, mm-hmm. Right? And so not only, but I'm a male and I'm part of a system, and so she's coming up against the system and having had some difficult times within the system. And so I had no idea. And then I am at the same time dealing with my own junk, right? Who's this woman who says she's a prophetess sitting across the table from me?
Right.
Right. And so I'm dealing with my junk. She's dealing with her junk. It's like our junk was talking together.
It was. As we're trying to be led by the Holy Spirit.
It was just, you know, our stuff would keep getting there. And so what I had to do was really begin to ask the question, do I really believe that God has called Yolanda into ministry? And do I really believe that Yolanda hears the voice of God?
That's a confrontation, ain't it?
It is.
You got to really deal with that.
Right, had to deal with that.
And then I had to say, can I trust that he will speak for me, support me, be one to say she is that. When I know he has to probably be the only one. I'm just kidding. But I'm sure you've had to step up and do that more than you really probably expected. Because Brian has been the one that I went to and said, the Lord said, you are to mentor Michael and I. And then it's okay as pastors for you to mentor one of our evangelists. And I had to trust. I had to trust that he could honestly do that. And I'm not, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that he's had to, like, stand up and say, she is that. And she, I'm saying, there are times in his own self that he's had to confront his own self about who we are and who I am. Does that make sense? And so I know that, and I had to trust that, Brian, in the midst of my healing.
Right, which is ongoing.
It is, and I have been healed of my men issues, and I'm continuing to be healed
right.
of that, because I can speak it now and be okay with you knowing where I was, right? And be okay. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I've had to go through deep healing in a way that only I can for the anointing and call that God has. But I had to be a co-laborer in it. It's not like the Lord said, I'm going to heal you. There's a problem between you and I, and you're healed.
You had to do some hard work in that process.
And you did too.
Yes.
And still doing.
Right.
Right.
And so for the two of us, you know, I mean, you know, I'm old. I'm 47. Not as old as some of you.
we're the same age, actually.
Yeah. Careful. And yeah, sorry. if I am old. So a lot of this, you know, becomes such a normal way of doing life that you don't think about it.
Right.
So I have a way of being and doing life. That it just that it comes like breathing, right?
Right.
And so now I have to be practice being very aware. Not in the sense of, you know, all right, I'm going to dote on Yolanda,
right?
Because I'm not going to do that.
No.
Right. I mean, you know that,
right?
Okay. But
Kathy knows that too.
My wife is right over here.
Right.
But I have to be very aware, and I have to think through and process.
That's right.
Because things that I would usually just normally see, that's what I'm thinking. Things that I would just normally say, things I would normally do.
That's right.
I now ask a question inside, like, okay, how is Yolanda going to experience that? You know, will she experience that as just another man? Will she experience that as a white man? So I you know, and it's amazing how quick you do that inside your head, right? I mean, you know, all of you have a million thoughts that just go boom through your head at any given moment, and you filter all that through. And so I have to practice that,
right?
And remind myself.
That's right.
This is a sister who's called by God and gifted for ministry.
And I had to stay present with him and my other brothers, because I know that it's Brian and I, but I had to begin to, I'm okay with, and I can actually celebrate to have someone challenge me on who God has called me to be, because there's a few men in here who know that if they challenge me back in the day, I still turn up. Don't get me wrong. I will. Turn up means I still get an attitude. Because I'm from Flint, and it don't go away like that. So pray for me. And those from Flint that's female know what I'm talking about. So it doesn't go away like that, and you all know that, how God changes you. He takes pieces. And so there are a couple of brothers that are in here that knows that how I used to be was I used to be harsh. And I would cut you, and I didn't care because I didn't trust that you trusted who I was, so it didn't matter to me. So I would say things, and then I had to not only hear from Brian, who had to tell me some things, right? But I had to hear from my other brothers, and it didn't bother me. And that's how I knew God had healed me from the inside out, because I could trust that they could see and be accountable to them. Because one thing we do, as we know the word says, we submit one to another. So submission to your brothers who you're called into a ministry to change, to be an agent of change in, there's a submission issue. And if you know, the enemy has come against my heel in that, to say that it's a bad thing, even with my men issues. But I have learned to let it go. And so when they come to me and say, you've hurt me, or I experienced you this way, I don't get turned up. For those of you that need to know what that is in our culture, that means I don't get angry and turn my head.
Could you do that again?
I do. And I don't cut you with my words and don't care. But I'm gentle and applicable. I'm loving and I'm kind. And no matter how it's said to me, I can take it and be okay and walk away whole. And my brothers can too.
So the amazing thing in this to me is how God brought us together.
That's right.
Not just to do ministry for the kingdom, but to bring healing into each of our lives.
I know.
Isn't that wild?
Oh, my God.
Isn't that cool?
But I would have never been able to do that if I hadn't been willing to give it over.
There's this passage of Scripture
from
the book of Colossians. Come on now. There we go. Colossians chapter 3.
This is a combination of what we've lived out and are still living out, right?
Just a call of how to live with one another. And so one of the questions that we want to end this with you and do it as a challenge for you to look at your life and where are you not doing what is here in Colossians 12?